Father, we thank you for the privilege to come together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Together around that name that's above every name. The name of our Lord and of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the great, mighty Holy Spirit whom thou hast sent to be our teacher. And we trust him to unveil, to unfold, to reveal the Word of God unto our hearts and unto our spirits. May each one of us not just be hearers of the word only, but may we be doers thereof. Hallelujah. Acting upon the word. Putting God's word into practice. For it's then that we become recipients of all that you provided and promised. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, to begin with, at least, you can open them to the fourth chapter of Proverbs. I don't know of any better scripture anywhere in the entire Bible that will emphasize the fact that God wants us full of life and health. That's his will. Notice what it said. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, 21, 22. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from before thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Why? For they, my words, are life unto those that find them, and health. My words are health to all their flesh. Amen. Say it out loud. His words, God's words, are life unto those that find them, and health. His words, God's words, are health, medicine to all their flesh, medicine to all my flesh. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Let's turn on over now to the 28th chapter of the Acts, and this is the next recorded instance we have concerning healing in the Acts of the Apostles. Here, Paul is shipwrecked on the island of Melita, you remember? And the Word of God says, the very first verse, and when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us everyone because of the present rain and because of the cold. Remember, the ship was lost. Your man's life was saved. When Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffered not to live. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit, when they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly, but after they looked a great while, they saw no harm came to him. They changed their minds and said that he was a god. Now, you remember back there in the Great Commission we read earlier, one of the signs of following a believer, they'll take up serpent. That doesn't mean that you'll just promiscuously handle snakes. You see, you have to interpret Scripture in the light of other Scriptures. Are you listening to him? And so the only other scripture we have on this is here where Paul was accidentally bit. Are you following me? And so Paul was accidentally bit, and he just shook that off. Praise God in the name of Jesus. Showed him no, it affected him not at all. Amen. Now then the people decide he must be a god. When I first received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, spoke the tongue, came into the Pentecostal movement, I got acquainted with the Pentecostal Evangel, which is the official publication of the Assemblies of God. And I read this testimony, well, an article actually on the concerning the name and the blood of Jesus. And this lady had been a missionary, was a missionary. In fact, she'd been a missionary for 34 years, way back there then, ever since, in other words, at the turn of the century, one of the foreign countries. And in relating this, in her message, she related this story that she was bitten by one of the scorpions or whatever there in that country. And when you were bitten by it, I mean, that's it. You die. Nobody ever lived. There's no antidote for it. That's just it. Well, see, they expected her to do the same thing that did Paul. Swell up, you know, fall down dead. And she happened to be out in the public when it happened, and folks watched her. Nothing happened. She said, I shook it off in the name of Jesus and said, I plead the blood of Jesus Christ. See, there is power in the blood. There's power in the name. Amen? Amen. And she didn't fall down dead. She didn't get sick at her stomach. She didn't get sick at all. And you see, God used that as a sign. Nearly the whole village turned to God. Amen. Her God's a real God. Amen. He's one. Hallelujah. Amen. Again, some of the brethren of the Assemblies of God down in Texas told me in the early days of the Texas District of the Assemblies of God, they met in Corpus Christi, Texas for a district convention, which they had every year. And they checked into their hotel and our hotels. Most of them stayed in one. And you know, we're talking about many, many years ago, and they didn't have all the modern fixtures. These folks, they had a, you'd have a, and you've seen these in some of these antique places, you know, a wash pan or a bowl, you know, and a pitcher of water. Then they had a tent up out there in town where they had the service. And then they had another tent that was the cooking tent. In fact, they ate and they cooked and everybody ate together, you see. Well, they checked in, they began to check into the hotels, and they began to get sick. I remember Brother F.D. Davis, who for a number of years was superintendent of the Texas District Assembly of God. Brother Davis told me personally, talking to several young preachers, because he was one of them. We checked in there, and we started getting sick. Now, he was a younger minister in those days himself, and people started getting sick at the stomach. And so he said, we went out under the tent and began to pray. And we were praying. The Spirit of God showed one of the ministers, gave him a word of knowledge, that the water, you see, because these pitcher, every room had a pitcher of water in it. See, you drink the water, you pour it in a wash pan, wash your hand. And that somebody had put poison in that water. So they went back to the hotel as fast as they could and told all of them, don't drink any of that water. And so then, there's a naval station there, you know, at Corpus Christi. And they took the water out of these pitchers, you see, and had them to analyze it. They said there's enough strychnine in that water to kill a regiment of men. Not a one of them died. Those that already drunk it got healed. The rest of them didn't drink it. If they drink any deadly thing, it'll not hurt them. Amen. Praise God. Now, that's a real fact. Now you see, that doesn't mean you go around and say, well, now this is poisonous. We've had the doctors all to attest that this will kill you. I'm going to drink this and prove something. No, that's unscriptural. That's unscriptural. That's right. But if like that, somebody trying to heal, they knew these people, some devil in somebody, you know, they knew these people believe in divine healing, power of God, we'll just see, you know. Put poison in. But they didn't die, thank God. Amen. Paul didn't die. He wasn't around handling snakes, trying to prove something. He's picking up these sticks, and one accidentally bit him. Amen? Amen. Amen. These signs will follow. Praise God. All right, let's go on reading now. So then they said that he was a god. Seventh verse. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. Well, now, in one sense of the word, Paul didn't heal him. In another sense of the word, he did, if you understand how he did it. Now, notice. Here the man is sick with fever and a bloody flux. Paul entered in and prayed. Did you notice that? He prayed first. Now, really, this is the first. Do you ever stop thinking about it? We've gone through the Acts, and this is the last chapter. This is the first reference in the Acts of the Apostles where we have any reference to anybody praying in connection with the sick. Other than in that fourth chapter of Acts, the early church there prayed that they'd be able to speak the word of God with boldness by stretching forth your hand to heal the sick. And the signs and wonders will be wrought in the name of John Jesus. But that's not praying directly for the sick, is it? So then you see, in Acts 3, Peter didn't pray for the man. And again, remember, the man's not a Christian, not a church man, not a member of the body of Christ. They've been born again. That lame man, he said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And down to 16th verse, it says, and his name, the name of Jesus, through faith in his name, has made this man strong whom you see and know. So there you see the name of Jesus and faith in his name getting the job done. All right, secondly, you see in the 5th chapter of Acts, Peter's shadow falling on folks. Now, you got any scripture for God working through a man's shadow? No, but you got any scriptures against it? No. See, God may do something a little different than what we've seen. But here's the way you judge it, and you can tell whether it's God or not. Does it attract attention unto the person or attention unto God? Does God get glory out of it? And secondly, does it bring blessing to humanity? Hallelujah. Well, certainly God got glory out of it, and the sick were healed. They were blessed. Amen? Even though there isn't any scripture, nothing that ever happened before. We have any, never had it ever happen before. I mean, if we're going to go by the Bible, we'd say it never had happened. Amen? Yet, thank God, God does move spectacular ways. See? Amen. Then, you've got the deacon full of the Holy Ghost and power. Amen. So get full of the Holy Ghost and power, you can do the same thing Stephen did. Fourth, you've got the evangelist equipped with gifts of the Spirit. Went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto him. Fifth, you got Peter saying to Annas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Like I said, it works both ways. You can be inspired because the Spirit told you to do it. Tell somebody, Jesus Christ maketh you. You see, and you got to realize, though, that Annas now is among the company of the believers here. Or you could just tell people the word, himself took our infirmities, because that Jesus Christ make you whole, get up. Amen. He'd been bedfast eight years. Praise God. Amen. You have reference by the hands of Paul and Barnabas, God wrought great things by them. Doesn't tell us about it, except it isolates this one incident where the lame man was healed by the preaching of the gospel. He is healed on his own faith. Now, really, that's the first and only record we have of individuals being healed on their own faith, their individual faith. It was Peter's faith in the name of Jesus that got the lame man in Acts 3 healed. Amen? It was Peter's shadow, because God answered the prayer of the believers and worked miraculously through them as a sign and a wonder that healed people, not their faith. Amen. They got as many people out there as they could. As many as his shadow fell on were healed. Amen. Praise God. But here, you got it that the man was healed on his own faith. He had faith to be healed. He got it by hearing the gospel. Now, you come down here to this, and then you see the special, God wrought special miracle by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought the sick, handkerchiefs or aprons of the diseases departed from, evil spirits went out of. So you come now to the 28th chapter of Acts. I just wanted to review those and show you the various methods. This is the first reference that we have where somebody, an individual, ministering healing, prayed. The 8th verse, and Paul entered in and prayed. And then, really, this is the first reference you have of anybody laying hands. Literally laying hands. Peter did take the man by the hand and lift him up, that lame man, see. Other than the Bible saying, by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. Yet this is the first reference that specifically said that he laid hands on him. Now, we ought to see folks healed today because the church is the same. The head of the church is the same. The Holy Ghost is the same. So we ought to see people healed today the same way they were then. And do you ever notice a variety of methods or means through the Acts of the Apostles here? And like I said, God will use one way. And they'll emphasize that because that's the way they minister. Yet here's someone else that may not have any supernatural manifestations. When I say that, I'm talking about gifts of the Spirit. Their shadow didn't fall on anybody and heal anybody. They had no particular revelation of the condition of somebody, but just taught them the Word. Had great success. Phenomenal success. In fact, I remember this. I talked about Brother Flagler. Now, Brother Flagler lived there in East Texas, and he was the father-in-law of Brother Bert McCafferty, who taught in Southwestern Bible Institute. And so Brother Flagler, when we were, my wife and I were in their home, there was a lady that he knew ever since his little girl. She's 36 years old. He's 72. And they brought her back home. Her mother lived just down the road, because actually we're out in the country, you see. There's this church right close by there, a country church, and full gospel. And then there's a field. Well, you know, I don't know. In fact, they had a garden out there some little distance, maybe 500 yards, to this other house. And see, and this was 1943. Well, the war was on. The man and his wife lived in Tyler. They were full gospel people. But see, everybody's busy. He couldn't hire anybody. You couldn't find anybody to stay with her. So they put an ambulance and brought her back to her mother's for her mother to sit. She's bedfast. Bedfast, dying with terminal cancer. Now, we were there in the meeting for 2 weeks, you see. Brother Flagler would go down there every day and minister to her. Now, see, he's 72 years. He'd been doing that for years, ministering to people, just as a layman, not as a minister. And, he said to me and to his pastor, both of us had a similar experience in that we had been given up to die by medical science and had been healed. Both of us had been healed when we were teenagers. He was an older teenager. I was only, when I was healed, well, I was in my mid-teens when I became bedfast. And so he was about 19. And so Brother Flagler said, Brother Hagin and Brother Smith, he said, I believe, you know, he didn't try to, I'm not going to try to tell you what to do. You know, he's a very humble man, but he said, I just believe this in my spirit. You pray about it, see what you think about it. If you just go give her your testimony to inspire her faith. I've been giving her the word. Besides that, I've known her ever since she's a little girl. She raised up a Pentecostal church, so she had heard, to some extent, healing preached all of her life. And I visited her every day. I mean, he'd been visiting her for weeks, every single day, reading the Bible to her. So he just stayed on that case. See, I think that's where his success was. I mean, like a bulldog, just take hold, wouldn't turn loose. So like I remember, when I first came over into Pentecostal movement, I heard of an older minister. You see, he's 80-some-odd years old. Old Uncle Jacob Miller. He's one of these hard hitters, all right. From here in Oklahoma, and I never preached in Oklahoma anything, but some of the Oklahoma preachers went out to California, and they wanted him to come out home. So he went out at age 83. To hold us meeting. Now, his ministry was more in the line of getting people filled with the Holy Ghost. He'd just get more people baptized with the Holy Ghost accidentally than most people would on purpose. But he preached in this church in California for 2 solid weeks. Nobody got baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now, they didn't know so much about laying on hands, they'd tear in the altar, but nobody got saved. Nobody got baptized with the Holy Ghost. 2 weeks. Well, the pastor was a convert. He got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost under his ministry. So it's his spiritual daddy. And he hadn't talked to him. He just got up and said, well, we're closing tonight now, you know, tonight will be the final night, you know. And old Uncle Jacob just jumped up and said, young man, we're not closing. He said, I've never been anywhere without people getting baptized with the Holy Ghost in all in 50 years of ministry, and I don't intend to start it now. I wanted to show you the tenacity of those old timers. They didn't start out to fail. They started out to succeed, and they'd stay there till they did. They'd stay with it, bless God. Amen. Amen. And that third week, people started getting baptized in the Holy Ghost, and finally wound up 143 of them filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Had a landslide. Amen. No, said, I'm not quitting. I don't intend to. See? Stayed with it. Well, Brother Flagler just stayed with this dear woman every day, putting the Word of God into her, praying for her, laying hands on her. So Brother Smith and I went on Sunday, and I'm going to close the meeting that night. We went and visited with her. He gave his testimony. I gave my testimony. And then we had prayer with her and left. Now, we're getting ready to leave. But Brother Franklin would get up and go down there every morning. We'd, you know, of course, he lived on a farm all his life and got up early all his life. we lived in the city and preachers and one thing and another. And so we they just told us, just get up when you want to. We slept till later. And so we got up and began to get our stuff together, to pack up to leave. And Sister Flagler happened to look out, and see Brother Flagler coming back up the road. And he's almost running, 72, but he was in a pretty good lope. And as he got closer, she said, something's happened. I don't know whether the lady died or got healed. Something's happened, though, because he's excited. He's running, almost running, really. And as she got close, she said, she kept looking. As he got close, she said, well, she must have got healed the way he's grinning. I mean, boy, his face lit up like a neon sign. And so he told us, he said, well, she's up and out of bed. She'd been bed fast. Every symptom's disappeared. Every pain is gone. And she'd been taking pain medicine for weeks. Why, if she is enough, she'd have had a withdrawal problem. But she had no problems whatever. Every symptom's gone. They was expecting, like Brother Flagg said to me, expecting any day for the ambulance to come get her and take her, to the funeral home for her body. That's how low she was. But he said she's completely healed. I mean, every symptom. One thing about you can tell them they're all gone, Especially the shape she is in. No strength to nothing. She's up and out of bed. Every symptom disappeared. In fact, dressed and called her husband, waiting for him to come and get her. Take her home. Amen. Well, just what Brother Flagler said, he had the right thing. He said, I believe it would inspire her faith. He knew how faith comes. Faith comes to him by the word. I've been giving the word every day for weeks. I think he said 5 solid weeks every single day. Besides that, she knew something about the word. She was raised up in Full Gospel Church. And so he said, I believe it would inspire. See, testimonies won't give you faith. They inspire faith. Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. And so she told her mother afterwards, she said, she lay there for a while and got to thinking, now those ministers didn't lie about that. They were both raised up from a deathbed. Medical science did just all they could, just like they have with me, done all they could do. Just admitted themselves, we've done all we can do, nothing else can be done. They didn't just sit here and lie to me. They're both raised up. Lord, if you did that for them, you can do it for me. Not only you can, but you will, because you're no respected person. And I just believe it. See, it inspired her. Glory to God. And she told her mother, now in ordinary circumstances, you don't want to do this. But she told her mother, said, just gather up all that medicine, all the painkiller, and throw it away. Well, the mother said, honey, that costs money. I mean, that's expensive. I mean, if not like it is today, but for the day it was, And so her mother told Brother Flagler, said, I never did tell her, but I didn't throw that away. Not all of it, because most expensive I kept, just in case. Now, see, if she'd been operating on her mother's faith, she'd have lost it. No, don't go throwing your medicine away unless you're in that place where you don't need it.
That's right. Amen.
Amen? Are you listening to me? Because if throwing your medicine away would heal you, all you'd have to do is throw your medicine away and you'd automatically be healed. But we know plenty of people threw the medicine away and weren't healed. So therefore, throwing your medicine away won't heal you. Right. Amen?
Amen?
See, that's simple enough.
Yes.
But when you do get healed, you won't need it anymore.
Yes.
Now, you'll know that.
Yes.
I don't know that. So keep taking your medicine until you know it.
Yes.
Well, so-and-so told me, though, that I ought to. Well, don't go by what so-and-so said. Sometimes if you just look at them, you can tell you ought to go by what they said.
Yes.
I mean, we used to go into Dallas from Garland. We lived in a suburb, Dallas, Garland. Now you can't tell you're getting one out of the other. But back in those early days, 49, 50, we first moved up there, you could, you see. And so we went in. And right just as you got in the edge of Dallas, just way out there, just barely inside the city limits, really. Over there close to White Rock Lake, not too far from it, actually. There's an old trailer, beat-up trailer. I mean, it looked like the last... Well, it looked like maybe somebody took it out of Noah's Ark. You know what I mean by that expression, don't you? Old, unpainted. Just a mess. And there's a sign up there in the front of that trailer, And it said, palm reading and fortune telling. Advice on marital matters. Money matters. I thought, dear God, advising somebody on money matters. I thought it had half sense in one eye. See, they needed some advice on money matters. Living in a mess. An old dilapidated trailer house. Looked like he sent far and couldn't go. Yeah, and advice, on money matters. Now, I said all this to say to this to you. Some of these folks giving you advice on faith and healing. Oh, bless their hearts. Bless their hearts. I mean, if you just look at the house they live in, this is the house you live in. Oh, dear Lord. Amen. I said amen. Yeah. I tell you, you better be convinced of something in your own heart. Yes. Not what somebody told you. I never told anybody yet to throw away your medicine. I don't know if anybody ever got healed by throwing away the medicine. You get healed first and then throw it away because you won't need it then. Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Well, God healed and you're taking medicine. He did me. I mean, I'd gotten rid of a lot of them because the fifth doctor I had on the case said, son, I wouldn't take some of this thing. He said, I'm a little bit different than other doctors. And I'm sure one of them was habit forming because I tell you, boy, for 3 days and nights, you talk about a fellow having trouble. I had some problems and I got off it. He said, now take your, they give you most of digitalis. Well, they still do, don't they, in different form. He said, now if you have to, well, take it. But if you can get by without it, don't even take it. Well, I got healed taking digitalis. But then when I got healed, I didn't need digitalis, so I threw it away.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. See? Praise God. So I know God will heal people them taking medicine.
Yes.
Because he did me.
That's good.
Amen. Are you listening to him?
Yes.
See? Now when do you throw it away? Well, you'll know.
Yes.
Well, I don't know yet. Well, keep taking it until you do
right.
know.
That's right.
Amen. See?
That's right.
Praise God. Amen. See, folks, you get the funniest ideas about some of these things. The trouble is they don't use their noodle. You know what your noodle is, don't you? That's just bump here on your shoulder. Don't use your noodle. Amen. See, don't follow the other fellow's example unless God witnesses to you.
Yes.
Just like I know of a minister, pastor right over in Kansas, and without their medication, they'd die. So they throwed their medicine away and said, I'm going to trust God or die. Well, if I could have been there, I'd have told him. You missed it. You better hold on to that medicine because that's what you're going to do is die. You can tell them what they said. If they trusted God, they would have said, I'm going to trust God and live. But they said, I'm going to trust God or die. So sure enough, that's what they did. They died. Now, right on the other hand, I remember when we first started school, that is moved out here. First year we was out here. We had a minister come by that was had been a Presbyterian missionary to the Navajo Indians. Actually, Brother and Sister Davis, who worked for us here, he came here to school, and Brother Duncombe had a school here, and he went there, and she worked for us in our office over on North Utica. And then they felt called, they were Presbyterian background, filled with the Spirit now, and so they felt led to work among the Indians, and so they went out there, and their Presbyterian background, and this Presbyterian missionary there, well, he put them over their young people. And they got all their young people baptized the Holy Ghost. Before you know it, they had all the church baptized the Holy Ghost, that Presbyterian church speaking with tongues. And they got him on my tapes and books. And he had an incurable disease. And without medication, he can go for 3 days, but the third day, he's dead. He's dead. Well, now, like he testified to the student body as he came through here, and we had him to speak here, but he said, now, don't do this. No, I don't advise anybody to do this. He said, see, I stayed on those tapes and on those books until I knew I've got it. We didn't have cassette, had those old tapes, you know. And he said, Brother Davis and me, five of us men, we went way back up in the mountains of northern Arizona, you know, in southern Colorado in there, way back in there, you know. We went in the jeep so far. And then we rode on horses so far. And then we just went by foot. You couldn't even get in any other way. And we got way back up in there in a cabin, just sort of a little retreat. You don't get off here, you know, seek God. And he said, I got to listen to those tapes praying. And you can't get back. You can't get back in 3 days. And so I took my medication and threw it in one of those canyons. And I said, don't do that because I did. I knew. See? I knew. Well, you see, he didn't die because there he was standing right there talking to us. We know he didn't die. It's self-evident. Amen. He's healed. He was healed. But like he said, I wasn't healed because I threw my medicine away. See, now somebody hears that and they think, well, boy, I'll be about to do that.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. You know, bless their hearts, and then we all have some place to go. Their funeral. See? So he said, now don't do that just because I did. I didn't do that to receive my healing. I did that because I knew I was healed. Amen. Praise God. That's good advice, whether you realize it or not. Where were we? Yeah. And he prayed. So it's scriptural to pray then, isn't it? Well, see, they do. See, we're at advantage. We got the New Testament now. We know that because we go over and read James. Amen. But see, they didn't have a New Testament to read. He prayed and laid hands on him and healed him. Well, yeah, but now he's an apostle. No, the way he did it was by prayer and laying on hands, and prayer and laying on hands belongs to all of us, belongs to the church. All right, now let's read the next verse. So when this was done, that is, the father of Publius, this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed. Well, how were they healed? I suppose that they's healed the same way, through prayer and laying on of hands. Wouldn't you imagine they were? Amen? I said amen. Amen. So the thought I want you to see is this. Incline your ear to God's sayings. Like I said, when I first came, I was healed on my own faith because I believed God. Mark 11, 23 and 24. But then after I came among Pentecostal people, you see, and I remember one of the first healing evangelists that I heard. He anointed everybody's oil. I mean, he'd run a healing line up over the platform. Big auditorium meeting full of people. He'd have somebody stand there holding a little bowl like that's got some olive oil. He'd dip his finger in it and put it on people's forehead. He is strong on that. Well, now why? Well, he was dying. Last stages of tuberculosis. Doctors had given up on him. I mean, said he's dying. He could just go any minute. He's that far gone. Somebody came along North Oil and prayed. In 30 minutes' time, he's running down the steps, healed. And like I said, I saw him these years later. See, he knows that works. Bless God, it worked for him. See, he's strong on that. And he got people healed. Now, Brother P.C. Nelson, Dad Nelson, as we call him, he'd preach usually. Now, he had become Assemblies of God. He was sort of independent Pentecostal to begin with. He was Baptist to begin with. 32 years a Baptist minister. And then he was run over by an automobile. And the doctors wanted to take his right leg off at the knee. And God began to deal with him. Because, see, he'd read that, you know, is any sick among them, call for the elders of the church. James 5:14, let them pray of him, in the name of the Lord, prayer of faith, save sick, Lord, raise him up. And the Lord brought that to his attention. See, he didn't want to lose a leg, a limb. And so he said, he tried to excuse us. I said, Lord, we don't practice that in the Baptist church, though. And I don't know of any pastor or preacher or minister anywhere that does that. And he said, Lord, it reminded him of a college professor, a woman. Think about that, being Baptist. A woman. College professor. Some of his own members of his church had been healed when she laid hands on him, anointed him with oil. Said, call her. Well, he didn't want to, but it's either that or else have his leg taken off. And he didn't have, you know, therefore he'd have to have a peg leg. They didn't have these artificial legs, and they didn't know how to make them then, you know. They just make a peg leg, you know. And so he called her. She came. And so her husband came along with her. Now, he's Christian on it, but he don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. She does. College professor. And so she's going to anoint him with oil, and did anoint him with oil. And while she's praying, the Holy Ghost gave her a message in tongues. So she spoke with tongue. He'd never heard it before. And interpreted. And here's what it said. Now I'll heal you because my servants have come in faith and you in faith have called for them to anoint you with oil. But if you'll just take your healing entirely on your own faith, not only will I heal you, but I'll give you also a ministry of healing. So he said, I'll just take it on my own faith. Amen. And that was about Thursday, and of course his faith wasn't strong enough to get it instantly, but by Sunday, he is filling his pulpit. Amen. Healed. So he preached healing. He went across the nation with a tent, preaching healing, 22, 23, 24, 25. Finally established Southwestern Bible Institute, which was an independent college to begin with, over here in Enid, Oklahoma, 1928. And then he became affiliated with the Assemblies of God. And for many years, every general council you'd go to, have a general council every 2 years, why, he'd pray for the sick. They'd have him to pray for the sick, minister to the sick. And he'd do that. He'd anoint with oil. See, that's the way he is. Healed that woman, anoint that college professor, anointing him with oil. Boy, he knows that works. Saved him taking his leg off. Amen. So, see, his faith starts working on that level. So he'd always do that. You'd see him at general council. He'd stand there, somebody would have a little bowl of oil, you know, and he'd anoint people. People get healed. Had an outstanding healing ministry. Outstanding healing ministry, you see? Amen. Now, they knew that word. Now, here was another fellow that came along, and he was healed. Didn't want to anoint him with oil. I mean, the fellow just laid hands. I mean, he is dying. I mean, medical science has done all they could for him. I mean, bless your heart, you know, we're not belittling medical science. We all know that. They get beyond medical aid. If it didn't, nobody would die. Amen. And they've done all they could for him. They said he had to die. Well, they took him out here to a Pentecostal meeting. Actually, we used to have those old Brush Arbor meetings. Don't know anything about them anymore. You know what a Brush Arbor is? Anybody know what a Brush Arbor is? See, it dates you. You know how old you are. Especially down in East Texas, we used to have Brush Arbor meetings. You know, just take a post, put it in the ground, you know, and just take brush and take your wire or something and string it around. You know, put that brush up on it, sort of shield you a little bit from, if you're in the daytime, from the sun or whatever happens, you know. And then people stand all around. Brush Arbor. And so this is just out in the country, a Brush Arbor meeting. And they carried him out there, took him out of bed because he's bedfast, put him in the back seat of a car, rolled up there just as close as he could, old T-model Ford. Old T-model Ford. Drove up there just as close as he could. Told the evangelist about it, and that evangelist just come out there, because he's bedfast, lying in the back seat of that old T-model Ford. See? And that evangelist come out there and just laid hands on him and rebuked the devil and commanded the devil to leave him, and in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth to be healed, and he is healed.
Hallelujah.
So that's the way he ministered to the sick, because he knew that worked. Praise God. I mean, every time he prayed for somebody, he'd rebuke the devil. Amen. He'd come against the devil and command him to be healed. Didn't anoint the oil at all. Had phenomenal success. Now why? Because God used him that way. Amen. Then I heard another minister. He was a denominational pastor, a preacher. Pastor at the time, really. And he went out to one of the healing meetings where God was using a healing evangelist with the word of knowledge and gifts of healings. That evangelist may point over this way and said, God shows me there's a lady over here that's got this kind of problem. And she'd be instantly healed. Or there's a man right yonder. God shows me, you know. And so this fellow told me personally, I asked him. He said, I went out there and set up in, because it's a big auditorium, you know, for the day, it seemed about 5,000. And I set up the balcony, you know, with my notebook, you know, and pen, taking notes because, you see, I'm going to preach against that. I'm going to refute all this. See?
Yeah.
So he's taking notes, you know, of the service so he can get up, you see, and preach against it and show the fallacy of it, how that it's false and of the devil. And so he said there, while I'm writing down my notes, you know, I've written them down while the evangelist preached and now then ministering. And said, suddenly the evangelist looked up and said, there's a man right up yonder, right yonder in the balcony. He's pastor, preacher. And you've had this condition for so many years. And he said, oh my God, she's describing me. Yeah, I've had that all those years. And you know, it won't kill you, but you've been under treatment, but it couldn't cure it. I mean, incurable. And she said, stand up, you'll be healed. So I said, I just stood up and I was instantly healed.
All right.
Well, he said, instead of me going back, you know, and preaching against it, I got up and preached for it. And then he said, lo and behold, when I began to get up and preach it, well, the Lord began to show me things. And I said, now, I tell you, there's a lady right there. Now this is, amen, it got off on it. It got off on it. It rubbed off on it. And God began to use him. Why? Well, he knows that works, see. And so then, see, you hear me primarily. I've been used those various ways. I called people out way back in 1938, occasionally. But I mostly emphasize the word. The word. The word.
Yeah.
Amen? Because I was healed that way. Boy, I have those folks, who's going to lay hands on you? I didn't know anybody could get to lay hands on me. I remember I read, you know, I began to run my reference. And I got down there, James 5:14, in the sick among the call for the elder church, let them pray with no thorn, name, Lord, prayer, faith, save sick, and Lord, raise them up. He committed sin, shall be forgiven. And I started to cry, oh dear God, I thought you had to do that. No, thank God you don't have to, you just can if you need to.
Yeah.
And I began to cry, I said, oh Lord, I mean, if I've got to get somebody to come lay hands on me, know me, oh, and pray, I can't be healed, don't know anybody. I don't know one preacher, I don't know one Sunday school teacher, deacon, anybody that does that, I can't be healed. And just as plain, oh thank God for the Holy Ghost. I'm glad I got acquainted with him early. I mean, he's been in some of you folks for years, never even got acquainted with him yet. I got acquainted with him early. And on the inside of me, just as plain right in here. Just as plain, there's a voice said, Did you notice that it's a prayer of faith that saves the sick? That means heals them. I out loud said, no, I didn't notice that. It's right there in front of me. I got my Bible open there. I had my eyes and my mind on the elders and the oil. The elders and the oil ain't healed nobody yet.
No.
I didn't know that, though. I had to read it again. Be sure it's what it said. So I looked at it. That is right in front of me. And I read it again. Is any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church. Let them pray of him in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith. Well, I said, it does say that, don't it? Yeah, the prayer of faith to save the sick. Yeah, but I don't know anybody to pray the prayer of faith. On the inside of me said, you can do that as well as anybody. Yeah. In the inside of me, the Holy Ghost said, you can do that as well as anybody.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
So I did. Glory to God. And you can too if you knew it. Sure you can. Because you're a faith person.
Hallelujah.
By grace are you saved through faith. You're a faith person. You walk by faith, not beside. You're a faith person. You live by faith. Hallelujah. Amen. Sure. And so I did. I prayed a prayer of faith and was healed.
Yes.
I believe that. You can do that as well as anybody.
Yes.
I believed I could. Because he said so. Hallelujah. Well, now, which one of these methods, you can see by those methods, similar here. Which one's right? All of them. See, not one at the expense of the other one.
No.
One may emphasize one. It becomes wrong when I leave the impression this is the only way God does it, the way I do it.
Yeah.
That's the reason I help people. You ever notice, I lay hands on people, I say, Jesus Christ is the healer.
Wow.
See, he's the head of the church and he's still healing through his body. See? And one way... Not the only way. Say it out loud. One way. Not the only way. But one way. That Jesus heals. Is through the laying on of hands. Thank God he does.
That's one way.
That's one way. See, God meets you at the level of your faith.
Yes.
That's the reason people get help a lot of times. God meets them, you see, of a combination.
Yes.
Of medicine and prayer. Because that's where their faith is. Amen. I tell folks all the time, if you can't believe God for $2 million, well, go ahead and accept one.
Yeah.
1 million. See?
Yes.
Amen. I know it's best. God's best is to be healed by divine power alone. But if your faith won't work on that level, I'll tell you, bless God, get your faith to work in on this other level down here. And he'll meet you right there. I've had people, I mean the doctors themselves said to me, I'll tell you one thing, Reverend, that's nothing short of a miracle. See, it might not have been the best miracle, but it's still a miracle. See? Because I said to them, now what can you believe? Well, I believe God will see me safely through this operation. I believe God will bring me out of it. I said, disagree then. That he'll do it. I always get down where people are. If you can't get them up where you are, get down where they are. Bless them. Hallelujah. Don't make them feel bad because they didn't believe God for his best. How many of you know it has God's best anyway? You don't. But you're after it, aren't you?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
I don't. No. Paul said he didn't. But he said, forgetting the things that are behind, I press forward towards the mark of the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
See, don't condemn people. Don't bring them into condemnation. Praise God, set them free.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Loose your faith. God will meet you on the level where you are.
Yes, amen.
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 Hallelujah. Now to put him to work, glory to God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So say it. Jesus heals today. And one way.
Not the only way.
But one way.
That he heals.
Is through the laying on of hands. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Now we have been going through the Acts of the Apostles, seeing what it said there relative to healing in the Acts of the Apostles. Let's go back to the Old Testament first, to the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. The Word of God said, who hath believed our report? Very first verse. And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He's talking about Jesus. Isaiah's prophesying about the coming Messiah. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. I'm reading the King James translation. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off in the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. If you'll turn over to Matthew, the 8th chapter, we'll notice that the Word of God says in the 8th chapter and the 17th verse, well, we'll read the 16th and 17th verses. When evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Well, if you'll notice your reference there, when it said that Isaiah said, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses, that it refers you to Isaiah 53:4. Well, you read Isaiah 53:4 from the King James translation. Surely hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And so if you just read the King James translation, you said, well, they made a mistake, because that's not what that verse said. That verse said, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Now, some King James translation, if you have a good reference Bible, in the margin you'll find that it'll tell you the Hebrew word for grief and sorrows is sickness and pain. Surely he's borne our pain, carried our sickness or our disease. Or some Bibles, so of course your more modern translations will translate that. I remember a Methodist minister, I was preaching up in Pennsylvania, and a Methodist pastor said to me, I was teaching something along this line. He said to me, Brother Hagin, he said, Pastor of the United Methodist Church, and incidentally, he's charismatic, filled with the Spirit, spoke with tongue. His church was cooperating with the seminar I was. In fact, there were 7 Methodist churches cooperating with the seminar I was conducting. A couple of Presbyterian churches. One independent Pentecostal church, and all the rest of them were denominational churches. About 8 of them all together. And so he said to me, I was on the, when they translated the New American Version, I was on the committee, you see, because that's one of my majors was Hebrew, you know, in seminary. And there were 7 of us to translate and to the Old Testament out of the Hebrew into English. American Revised Version, the new one, you see, that in more recent years they have translated. And so he said, we all took an oath that we would translate it as close, you know, over into the English as possible, as possible to say it. So he said, when we got to the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, this Methodist pastor said to me, We wanted to translate it literally the way it reads. Surely he hath borne our sickness and carried our diseases. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Now remember, there's seven of them on the committee, on this panel, that is. And so he said, they were three of us that wanted to translate it literally the way it literally reads. And the other four said, oh, we can't afford to do that. Because if we do, we'll play right into the hands of these folks that believe in divine healing. Isn't that strange? They admitted themselves, if you literally translate the Bible, you'll play right into the hands of these folks that believe in divine healing. And so he said, we took a vote on it, see, and it was 4-3 to not translate it that way. And so the three of us resigned from the panel. We said, well, we took an oath that we would translate it according, you know, in English as it's written in Hebrew. And so we can't violate our conscience. And so they resigned from the panel. Now he said, and if you got one, I've got one over my library. He said, after we resigned, they put three more people in our place. They did make a concession. I've got one of them, the New American Revised Version. And at the bottom of the page, you see, they go ahead up here in the text and translate it, surely hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. But they got another number one and number two up there by grief and sorrow. And at the bottom of the page, they got a footnote. And they said the Hebrew words translated grief is also translated, you know, in the Old Testament, it's translated sickness and disease and the other word disease. So at least they did make a little effort that direction. But thank God, you wouldn't have to know a thing in the world about Hebrew. I tell folks sometimes I don't know a thing about Hebrew, homebrew, any other kind of brew. But I can read, praise God. Amen. But all you got to do is just read the King James translation. Because I believe Matthew's inspired by the Spirit of God to write his gospel, don't you? And so the Holy Ghost then said through Matthew, amen, that Isaiah said himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Glory to God. I said glory to God. Now we read here also that he took our sins. Thank God he did. He laid on him the iniquity of us all. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. That 10th verse is very interesting. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. Now that's the same word that back up here in this 4th verse. It's in the plural, griefs. He hath borne our pains. Now that doesn't mean that Jesus was literally sick, that he had cancer or tuberculosis anymore when the Bible said he made him sin, that he committed adultery or killed somebody. But it was laid on him. Amen? I said amen? Amen. So he's not a sinner, and he wasn't a sick person. That is, he didn't have cancer or something. But our diseases and sicknesses, see, the cause of them was laid on him, just like our sins and diseases was laid on him. And so then, he sums it up in that 5th verse by saying, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, hallelujah. And again, there's a little number there by the word stripes. In my Bible, I look over in the margin, said Hebrew said, with his bruise or bruises, we are healed. Praise God. So then, Matthew said that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now that's plain enough for anyone to understand. Now, of course, folks who do not believe that, they'll say, well, you know, he did take those people's sickness and he bore their diseases, you know, the people he ministered to there, but not ours. Well, if he didn't bear my sickness and my diseases, what right have I got to believe that he bore my sins? No, Jesus was sent to the whole world for all time. Amen. And whatever he bought and whatever he secured through his death, burial, and resurrection belongs to the whole world, praise God, all of us, for all time. And so you just can't separate the two of them. They belong to us. And I don't know about you, but I love to tell this story because it was the way I paraphrase it, it was a great blessing to me and has been a blessing all these years to me, because you see, I saw truth and accepted it and said it and have walked in the light of it then for all these years. It's been a reality in me. I read, World War II was over in 1945. I read this in 1947 in one of the religious periodicals of our nation. And this little woman in London, England, when the war was just over, and during the war, while the German planes would come over and drop their bombs upon the city, people met their way to the air raid shelter. And so one night, the neighbors noticed this little woman wasn't with them, because every night the plane's coming over, every night the air raid sirens are sounding. But she wasn't with them. And they wondered. But they were busy in the daytime, because they had, a lot of damage had done. Planes, bombs had fallen. They were cleaning up, and everybody busy. Second night, she wasn't with them. Third night, she didn't come. Well, they asked, anybody seen her? No. Well, maybe she's been killed. Others thought maybe she'd been injured in the hospital. Others thought maybe she had moved away to the country to escape the bombs. But the fourth day, one of the neighbors saw her on the street and said, "Oh, we're glad to see you back." "Oh," she said, "what do you mean, glad to see me back? I've been anywhere." "Well," he said, "the last 3 nights you haven't been to the air raid shelter. When the planes come over, the bombs are falling, the air raid sirens sound, everybody's supposed to go to the air raid shelter." "No," she said, "I sure haven't." "Well, where have you been?" "Said, nowhere." "What do you do?" "Said, I just stay home in bed and sleep." "Well, aren't you afraid?" "No," she said, "I was reading in the Bible where it said God neither slumbers nor sleeps. And I just thought, well, there's no use of he and I both staying awake." Now, when I read that, I thought like this. I read in the Bible where he himself took my infirmities and bare my sicknesses, and I decided there wasn't any need of he and I both bearing them. Because he bore them, I'm free. I said, because he bore them, I'm free. Now, some folks would say, "Well, now, our redemption is not complete yet, so over during the millennium, well, we'll be free from sickness and disease, And then we'll inherit that part of it then." Well, if that's true, then there's a part of redemption that won't do us any good as far as the church is concerned, because we can't be sick anyway, because we'll have a new body. Are you listening? Fashioned like unto his glorious body, or glorified body. No, thank God what Jesus came to purchase for us and bear for us belongs to us in this world and in this life where we live here now. Amen. Now then, let's turn over again and incline our ear to some other scriptures. Turn to John's Gospel, the 10th chapter. "Incline thine ear unto my sayings." Well, that's what we're doing. Praise God, we're inclining our ears unto his sayings. And right here are the very words of Jesus. You'll notice that if you have a Bible, for instance, where his words are printed in red. Now, Jesus is speaking. He said in John, we'll start reading with the 10th verse of the 10th chapter of John's Gospel. Now, notice. "The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Now, what he's doing is contrasting his works with the works of the devil. It's just so clear and plain. It's you wonder how people fail to see it, stumble over truth. They'll think, that maybe God put this on me. Well, God's not a thief.
That's right.
He's talking about the devil when he talks about the thief. God's not a thief.
That's right.
Amen? "The thief cometh not but to steal." See, sickness is a thief. It steals health. It steals money we need for other things. "Thief has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Hallelujah. And that means that they might be protected and saved both spiritually and physically. Just got through reading that in Isaiah. "But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, And the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. Thank God he is. Amen.
Amen.
The bad shepherd? No, the good shepherd.
Amen.
I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I laid down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Amen. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Now you know that 10th verse, all of it's very enlightening, but that 10th verse is very enlightening. If we didn't even have other scriptures to tell us, it would tell us exactly where sickness and disease and so on and so forth comes from. The thief is come but for to kill and to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come, praise God, that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Well, when he says life there, that sort of reminds you of of our original text. For they, my words, are life unto those that find them. The same words that are life unto those that find them are health to all of their flesh. Praise God. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Now, one of the most interesting, really one of the most controversial subjects in Christian circles almost is, where do these things come from? Who is the author of sickness and disease? Amen. And you know, you deal with Christian people. I know, you know. When I was on the bed of sickness, given up to die by medical science, got born again on the bed of sickness. And when I got born again, then something inside me, see, because my spirit now has the Holy Ghost residing in it. Greater is He that's in you and He's in the world. And because my spirit has the life of God in it and the nature of God in it, then my spirit knows things that my head don't know.
Yes. Yes.
And my spirit began to tell me, I didn't know it was my spirit, all I knew was something inside me, down in here somewhere. In my innermost being, said, when I say said, I don't mean it was words. It's more of an inward conviction. More of an inward something, you know. Said, you know, you could be healed. You don't have to die at this early age. Just at 15 and then 16 years of age. Well, I didn't pay a lot of attention to that first. I didn't know you were supposed to listen to your spirit. And, of course, then I would get to thinking about what I had heard in church circles. You know. And then I began to ask people. I asked my own folks first, kinfolks. Well, you know they love me. But, you see, our people so many times have been religiously brainwashed instead of New Testament taught. And so my own folks said, well, no, you know, you couldn't be healed. When he said you could be healed, I understood that it meant you could be healed by God or by divine power, supernatural power. Medical science already said they couldn't do anything. No, you know, some of my kin folks said, well, now Jesus did heal when he was here on earth, and the apostles did. But, but that's just to help get the church established. And when the last apostle died, all that ceased. You know, that's the end of it. So I accepted that mentally, you know. But then again, when you'd pray and meditate, talk to God in the nighttime there on the bed of sickness, that inward conviction would grow on you. I mean, it's a strong man inside you. You could be healed. Well, then, I stood asking the Lord. You know, make a mistake a lot of time asking people instead of the Lord. And so I asked other Christians, other relatives. And then you did come down to this answer, that of course God is almighty, you know, and He could do it. He could heal you, all right, heal me, if it's His will. But it's probably not His will. He don't do that very often. Once in a while, He might. And so that, you know, blew me out of the saddle, so to speak. So I went along for some more months and weeks and months. And then again, that inward conviction, just so strong. And so instead of again asking, I began to ask, you know, the Lord, I began to ask other people that might come and visit me. Outsiders, you know, I got by my kinfolks. And so I got to them. I got to the, you know, and they all had about the same conclusion. One would tell you one thing, one would tell you something else. One would side in with the theory that the last apostle died all that season. The Lord used to do that, but that's not His will now. And then others would say that God could, you know, if He wanted to. But some reason or other, He didn't want to now. He used to want to, but now He don't. And so that leaves you in a quandary, you know. And then others said, you know, that God puts sickness on people. He has some mystical reason why He does that. To teach us. To deepen our piety. And so I questioned some of these folks that had come to visit me. I was bedfast 16 months. And I said, now you mean that God caused me to be born prematurely and with a deformed heart, a little innocent baby? What did I ever do this wrong? To be born with a deformed heart, deformed throughout my chest. Never ran and played like other little children. Never had a normal childhood. Never jumped and laughed and played. But just sat around with the older folks. You know, folks used to say, I believe that's the most solemn child I ever seen in my life. He never smiles. I never did. What did I got to smile about? Now, you mean God did that? I asked these people. Well, now, no. Now, He didn't just exactly do it. But now He permitted it. And He's got some purpose in mind. I never did find out what the purpose was. Some deep, mystical, mysterious purpose. And I remember I struggled with that as a 15-year-old and 16-year-old there on the bed in the nighttime when the lights are all out and everybody's in bed asleep. That's when I did my praying. And I remember, I still feel the same way. I meant it just as much as anything in the world. You can't understand this unless you've been sick. Unless you've been incapacitated. In the nighttime, I couldn't figure it out. I said, dear God, I've been born again. I know I'm a child of God. But are You that kind of a God? I mean, did You cause me, or have You got some great mystical purpose in mind of allowing me, permitting me to be born with a deformed heart? Never run and play like other little children. Never have a normal childhood, a semi-invalid all my life for 15 long years, and then become bedfast. I mean, did this come from You? I mean, and I said it. I didn't say it in tones of arrogance. I said it in tones of kindness. I said, if You're that kind of a God, I'd rather die and go to hell, spend eternity there, than spend eternity with a person like You. I said that to Him. In tones of kindness, not arrogance. And I still feel the same way about it. But thank God I found out He wasn't that kind. I said, I found out He wasn't that kind. Hallelujah. You see, one day I had enough sense, and oh, I wish I'd had it sooner. But many months later, I had enough sense when that something inside said you could be healed to say without thinking out loud in my room by myself, well, if I can be healed, how? And something on the inside of me just as plain said, it's all in the Word. It's in the Word. It's in the Word. I knew what he meant. He said, it's in the Word. It's in the Bible, in the Word of God. Now turn with me to Acts 10:38. Praise God, did you wear your shopping clothes today?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Who did? God did. Then this is God's will. Jesus said, I came not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. This is God's will. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Well, among other things, I got this. Satan is the oppressor, not God. Jesus is the deliverer. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Whatever he did, if you want to see God in action, look at Jesus. Satan is the oppressor. Jesus is the deliverer. Yes. And so I saw exactly where it came from. That it wasn't God, but that it was Satan. And then I knew, hallelujah, that it was the will of God for me to be well. Now, did you ever stop to think about it? And some folks wonder, you know, like right here a number of years ago when I first came to Tulsa in 1963 and preached. Well, then later on, in 66, we moved back here to Tulsa, and I'd preached several times here in Tulsa, 63, 64, 65. And there was a Baptist, Southern Baptist, and because of my Southern Baptist background, Southern Baptist minister, who was pastor of the First Baptist Church in one of our cities here in Oklahoma, and received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, spoke in other tongues, and like I, received the left foot of fellowship. And so he was in the first meeting I conducted here. And so then after we moved back here, moved here in 66, and we were having a seminar over in our office building on North Utica, and he came, and so we were talking, he said, you know, Brother Higgins, since hearing you, said, I just got through, actually, reading my New Testament through again, and he said, you know, I believe in healing all right, and believe God heals today, and so on, but I just can't find in there like you do. I said, well, man, I see healing every chapter, every verse, and every line almost. Amen. He said, well, I just don't see it. I said, you see, it don't have to spell out H-E-A-L-I-N-G for it to be healing. I said, for instance, I see it in what we call the Lord's Prayer. In other words, where Jesus said, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come. And Luke said, the kingdom's in you. Hallelujah. And you're in the kingdom. Thy will be done on earth. I said, now is there any sickness? I said, see, that don't say healing, but is there any sickness in heaven? And is, no, he said. I said, well, is it the will of God that people be sick in heaven? No. Well, I said, he said, then thy will be done on earth. I said, see, I see healing there. Oh, he said, that is right. Well, I'm going to read the New Testament through again. So we closed that seminar and went on holding meetings, because before we started school, seeing I was out in meetings constantly. And about 3 or 4 months later, we had another seminar here in Tulsa. And he was out for that seminar. And he said, Brother Hagin, you know what? I said, what? Man, he said, I'm just like you. He said, I've read the New Testament through again over these last 3 months. I've done other reading too, because he had to preach and so on. But he said, you know, I'm like you. I see healing in every chapter, every verse, and every line. Amen. Now, for instance, you get over here into the epistles, the letters that are written to the church. And you know as well as I know it, like, for instance, 1 Corinthians, well, Romans, 1 Corinthians, and on through. Again and again, in some form or another, some way or another, Paul keeps using this illustration, that we are the body of Christ. He's the head, we're the body. Now, for instance, like for you take, for instance, 1 Corinthians 12:12. For as the body is one, using the human body as an illustration, has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. We are the body of Christ. Amen? Now, in that same opening, the 12th chapter, He said, and God, the 27th verse, now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church. He said, next verse, the body of Christ, the church. Now ye are the body of Christ. Well, first of all, when Jesus was here on earth, the only body of Christ that was in the earth was his physical body. But now then, he becomes the head, we become the body. Well, you know, whatever affects your body affects your head, doesn't it? Now, could it be possible that God would want, that Christ would want his body sick? Huh? I see healing there, you see. Praise God. Amen. Now, that's 1 Corinthians. Now, turn back to Romans. Let's just look at a few of them real quickly. Turn back to Romans, for instance. Here's a great scripture. Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, the word quicken means make full alive, your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. Now, see, a lot of people miss that. They think that's talking about that our bodies one day are going to be resurrected from the dead. It isn't at all. See, he says his Spirit that dwells in us, now while it's dwelling in us, will quicken or make full of life our mortal bodies. Mortal means subject to death. See, after your body dies, it's not mortal anymore. That is, it's not subject to death. It goes back to dust. I mean, it's already dead. Amen? I said amen? No, this is talking about while you're living here. See, there's divine healing again. Amen. If the Spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, hallelujah, he that raised up Christ from the dead, remember, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world? We've never really reckoned on and depended on he that dwells in us like we should. We never have really cooperated with him like we should. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. He shall quicken your mortal body by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Well, I see healing there, praise God. I believe God wants his house he's living in well. Amen? I believe that. Somebody said, well, I don't. Well, I do, and I believe it and have been well now for 50-some-odd years, so if you won't believe the other and stay sick, well, fine with me. That's all right with me.
That's right.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, the other morning, I was dreaming. And I don't know whether that tells me anything or not. The Bible said, you know, young men will see visions. Back in the 50s, I saw visions. But your old men will dream dreams. I don't know whether that's trying to tell me something or not. Because I don't feel old. Amen. I don't know how you're supposed to feel when you get old. But anyway, I dreamed, you know, I saw myself up preaching, and I never thought of this. Came this real revelation to me. Here from Ephesians, see, that's another one of the epistles. Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. That's 25th verse. That he might sanctify it and cleanse it with washing of water by the word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Now get this. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cheereth it, his flesh, even as the Lord the church. You know any husband that wants his wife sick? Right now. If she's sick, she can't fulfill her duties as wife.
That's right.
No. For we are members of his body. Look at the next verse. Of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So just use the illustration that the Holy Ghost gave Paul. First of all, we're the body, he's the head. How many heads do you know that wants their body sick? None. Affects them. How many husbands do you know that wants their wife sick? See, you can preach divine healing from husband and wife standpoint. Not any if they love them. Amen. For he that loveth his wife loveth himself. He no man ever yet hated his own flesh. But he nourisheth and cheereth us, it, his flesh. Now notice, even as the Lord, the church. That has more than just a spiritual. Some people want to spiritualize everything, you know. Well, why don't you just spiritualize heaven then? Let it flow away. Fly away. No, thank God heaven's real. Glory to God. Amen. And this is real. Just like a husband and wife is real. And if you don't know that, you ain't never married yet. You find that out. Amen. Well, I just pointed that out to you as illustrations. Let's go finally to 1 Peter 2:24 in conclusion. Remember our original thought, incline thine ear. Do what? Incline thine ear unto what? My sayings. Now look at the 24th verse. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Now we read back there in Isaiah, by whose stripes we are healed. He was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquity, chastised of our peace upon him, with his stripes we're healed. Isaiah's prophesying about the coming Messiah. Well, Jesus come now. Now Peter is looking back to the cross, to the death, to the burial, to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now he said, by whose stripes ye were healed. Well, now again, folks will tell you that that just means sin. Well, folks don't get healed from sin. Talking about sinners, they get born again. Are you listening to me? No, that didn't just talk about sin. Then besides that, any number of times, I've given people that verse of scripture. I mean, who couldn't walk a step. Others were bedfast. The doctors, bless their heart, did all they could for them, just told them the truth about it. We can't do any more than all we can do. And yet I've seen, you know, we believe in prayer and laying on hands and anointing. But right on the other hand, you just don't have that anointing. The anointing potential is there all the time, but it's not manifestation all the time. And I've just had people just to read that verse of scripture. I'm thinking of one woman right now, been operated on several times. The doctor just said, her husband told me, said, doctors told me, said, I'll just be honest, tell you the truth about it. We've done all we can do. We don't think she'll live over another 6 months. Well, he said, I think we ought to tell her. Well, the doctor said, that's up to you. I mean, if you think so, well, some doctors do, some doctors don't, you know. So he told her. Well, they came to my service, and he had to carry her in his arms, set her down. Well, I didn't, we were in this meeting. I was there for a number of weeks, 7 weeks, and this was over about the 6th week. And the pastor said to him, said, Brother Hagin, we didn't realize that this meeting would run like this, and we want you to stay on, you know, even next week, another week of meetings. And we got a missionary service, you know, for the weekend, Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night. Now, during my meeting, we took Saturday off, had an off day. But we've had this set up for many months, and other churches are coming in, see, so you can't cancel it, you know. And so all I'd miss would be my Friday night service, you know, and my Sunday night preaching that I pick right up and go on Monday, see. Because we got this missionary. I said, fine, be fine. Especially when I found out who this was going to have, and knew it wouldn't, because it went right along with what I was teaching. And so they brought this woman on this Friday night, and the missionary was speaking, you know, and having a healing service. And so I sat on the platform, all right, with the pastor. But when the meeting was over, well, we were back in the pastor's office with the missionary. And there's a knock on the door, and the pastor went to the door, the pastor's study, and then he turned to me and said, Brother Hagin, one of the ushers wants you. So I went to the door, and he said, Brother Hagin, there's a man and a woman here who wants to see you. They come over from another city, and she's sick, needs healing. So I went out, you know, and the church, everybody's gone. The sanctuary is empty virtually. Just a handful of people standing around talking. And it had been full, several hundreds. And that's when he told me then that we had brought her for healing and what the doctors had said. And so I hadn't preached. I had no anointing at the moment to minister to her. So what are you going to do? Well, I always know, bless God, the Word of God is already anointed. Amen. And so I just opened the Bible and laid it on her lap and had her to read that verse. Right there. Well, I really had to read, you know, read there first, but then went back to Matthew and then back to Isaiah. But here, 1 Peter 2:24. Now, you see, here's this woman that, according to medical science, they've done all they can do. That is terminal. Her case is terminal. And yet she got healed by believing that verse of Scripture. So then if it just means sin, you know, that you're healed from sin, then the Lord made a mistake and healed her physically from an incurable condition when he ought to just forgive her sins. And I don't believe God made any mistake. I believe the verse says just what it means and means just what it says. Don't you? I said, don't you? Now, of course, if you don't believe it, it won't work for you. Because, you see, that dear woman believed it and was healed. And came back testifying, perfectly healed. 19 years later, I talked to her on the telephone. She's still healed. Said the last 19 years have been the greatest years of my life. Walking in health. Praise God. And yet here's a lady from the same church came to me just a griping after one of the morning services. Said, why won't the Lord heal me? Gave her the same verse that it did the other woman. See? Same scripture. Yeah, but, and see, now she's a member of the full gospel church. Saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, speak the other tongue. She said, yeah, but now let me tell you what I believe about it. Well, I said, sister, I'm not really interested in what you believe about it. Well, I've got as much right to my beliefs as you do yours. I said, no, you don't. Neither one of us have any right to our beliefs. I do have a right to believe the Bible. I do not have a right to my beliefs. And you don't either. That's what gets us in trouble. We believe our beliefs instead of believing the Bible. Yeah, but let me tell you what I believe about it. See, I got this woman to come, this other lady that I tell you that was incurable, the doctor said, you know, had only a few months to live, to see that, and she saw this truth, by whose stripes we were healed, and if we were, then I was, and if I was, then I am. That's what I want you to believe, I am healed. I am. I am. She started believing that. Did the symptoms disappear instantly? No, I walked away from her and I looked back and her husband picked her up in his arms and carried her home. But in 2 days' time, every symptom she had disappeared. I know because she's back over in the service of walking and a jumping and a dancing. Praise God. Every symptom disappeared. I talked to her 19 years later on the phone and she's still healed. But now here's the full gospel lady in the same church where this woman was healed. I gave her the same scripture. But instead of believing that, see, remember my original thought, incline your ear? Instead of her inclining her ear to what God said, by whose stripes ye were, see, in the mind of God, we're already healed. Now, that may not be so literally, but in the mind of God. So, side in with God. Amen. Amen? Amen? And so, this full gospel lady said, now, let me tell you what I believe about it. So, finally, I said, all right, tell me. Now, I'll tell you, I just believe that when God gets ready, in his own good time, and in his own good way, he's going to heal me. Well, that's not what the Bible said. See? You're not believing what the Bible said.
That's right.
And so I had to emphatically tell her, said, well, he won't.
That's right.
I mean, because he's already ready.
That's right.
He don't have to get ready, he's already ready. Because he don't ever change.
That's right.
And if he's got to get ready, then he never was ready.
Yes.
Because he's never going to change. He's ready right now. Glory to God. Amen?
Amen.
I said amen.
Amen.
Incline. Everybody say it out loud.
Incline.
Thine ear.
Unto my sayings.
Jesus Christ. Maketh thee whole.
Jesus Christ.
Maketh you whole.
Jesus Christ.
Maketh me whole.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
By his stripes.
We were healed.
If we were healed.
Then I was healed.
If I was healed.
Then I am healed.
I believe.
I am healed.
Hallelujah.
Woo, glory. That's what I want you to believe. I am healed. I am whole. Glory.